There's a pawn shop on a corner in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
And I walk up and down neath the clock.
Leaders from around the world are heading off to Pittsburgh today for the start of the G20 summit.
Pittsburgh has really transformed its economy. It's a vibrant city. It's got an incredible amount of civic pride. Beautiful. I think the delegates are going to be blown away by Pittsburgh.
That's Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell talking up the city of Pittsburgh. And we're asking you, if the world leaders are coming to your town, the leaders of the most powerful economies in the world, what would you have to say to them? A big welcome banner, a protest sign? Get out of here. Come try a big deep dish pizza. Let us know what you would say to them.
This is Mike from Wayne, New Jersey. I would quote a very prominent philosopher by the name of Rodney King and simply ask them, why can't we all get along?
We're looking for what you would say. Give us a call at 8778-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. On the agenda at the summit, they're going to be talking about how to fix the struggling global economy. They'll be obviously talking about bank reforms and climate change as well, which they were talking about the UN. Out in the streets of Pittsburgh, Steel City residents are preparing for the possibility of very violent protests. Joining us now for a view from the ground is Global Post correspondent Cindy Skierczycki. And from London is Michael Goldfarb, who's also a Global Post correspondent. So, Cindy, let's begin with you. What are we looking at? Are there protesters already getting ready for the G20 there?
Well, we have had some protests, very, very small, over the past few days. They are so outnumbered by the police presence that they basically can't move a muscle. The most notable thing that's happened is some Greenpeace protesters rappelled down one of the bridges in Pittsburgh yesterday. And, you know, we have 400 bridges in this city, and dropped a huge banner basically telling them to pay some attention to climate change. And that occupied the good part of the day, at least the morning, in trying to get them to come up, and incredible police presence for that. And hauled everybody away.
I've driven through Pittsburgh, and it's not always the easiest city to navigate. Is this city going to be able to handle all the traffic and the focus downtown?
Well, you know what? There is no traffic left because no one is going downtown. Downtown yesterday was a virtual ghost town already. All the access to the city has been cut off except for 3 points. And I think most people who work downtown no, they can't get in and out. So most businesses, a lot of businesses have closed.
Well, they're expected to talk about some pretty important things at the G20 summit. This is what President Obama had to say last week.
At next week's G20 summit, we'll discuss some of the steps that are required to safeguard our global financial system and close gaps in regulation around the world, gaps that permitted the kinds of reckless risk-taking and irresponsibility that led to the crisis.
So, Michael, you've covered these summits before. Do you expect that President Obama is going to be able to accomplish some of those things he's talking about?
Probably not. You have to understand that, you know, if you have a global crisis and then you have individual governments, how is it possible to really close gaps? There's bound to be someone somewhere who will not cooperate. You know, it's been difficult enough on great global issues like nuclear disarmament. The global financial crisis is something else altogether, so I'm very skeptical.
So what about all of those who are head of these banks, these traders? Are they watching? Are they nervous about what reforms may go forward?
Well, you know, when the G20 met 5 months ago here in London, I stopped off in Canary Wharf, which is the kind of high-tech IT back room, if you will, of the financial district. I mean, it's sparkling and brand new. It was quite empty the day I went because they were concerned about protesters. I came across two bankers having a cigarette outside, and I said, well, I'm on my way down to the G20 summit meeting place, and, you know, what do you think is going to happen? And they were really dismissive, and they said, look, whatever these guys do, we're smarter than they are. We'll figure a way around that. And there's nothing in the last 5 months that has made me think that they were, you know, they were bragging, but that there was something underneath that, because, you know, you've seen that banker bonuses have returned to 2007 levels and so on, and it's hard to imagine how, you know, President Obama, who's got enough problems just getting very, very modest reform of the healthcare system through Congress, is somehow going to put in place regulations on Wall Street that will, you know, shrink Lloyd Blankfein, who's chairman of Goldman Sachs, will shrink his pay packet by very much. So I'm very skeptical.
I mean, you described something pretty interesting there. The financial community views the G20 leaders as a kind of committee of dullards. Protesters are certainly common at all of these G20 meetings. But Cindy Skorzycki, I'm imagining from the general perspective of citizens, middle class citizens in Pittsburgh struggling with the recession, that the G20 look like their own sort of conspiracy of bankers and plutocrats trying to take over the world. And whether they protest or not, it would reinforce a lot of cynicism there in Pittsburgh. Cindy?
You know, the people in Pittsburgh are very realistic, very down-to-earth people. I think they view the arrival of the G20, and they're also very patient people. They really have gone through a lot economically, and the city right now, as far as the recession goes, is doing far better than most others in the U.S. because we depend so much now here on jobs and health care and high tech and very clean jobs, actually. So the city is a very even keel sort of place. So I think most people kind of take this in stride and have pretty much said, hey, I'm waiting for the Steelers game on Sunday. I'm waiting this out. I'm not going down there. And pretty much leaving the city to the dignitaries, the parties, all the things that are going to go on here. And as far as showcasing the city's best attributes, the press has done a really good job of that.
Yeah, so this could make a big difference for Pittsburgh just by being in the news. Quickly, Michael, if summits like this are not effective, what should we be doing instead?
Well, since we can't say we should have a global government, there's really, you know, very little to do except hope that the two main homes of the financial crisis were New York and London. So basically, we're reliant on the U.S. and the U.K. governments to use the means at their disposal, mainly the tax code, to try and curb banker behavior.
So maybe
and
the
make sure
cities
that
themselves
our tax
have
money
to step in.
Go
Michael Goldfarb
pocket.
Is a Global Post correspondent. We also heard from Cindy Skorzycki of the Global Post.